Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, Donegal Airport is allocated over €720,000 as part of an operational funding package for the state's four regional airports. There were 20 admitted patients without beds at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, the second highest figure in the state. Gardaí roll out what they're describing as community engagement vans for deployment in rural areas. And later we'll hear from the Gaeilge of the Donegal and Inishowen municipal districts as we continue our series of conversations. Later we'll have the sports news. That's coming up at around about 5:15, but we begin with the allocation to Donegal Airport of €721,000. It's part of an €11 million operational funding package for the state's four regional airports. Announcing the package this afternoon, Junior Transport Minister Jack Chambers said the money is targeted at vital safety and security operations at the airports, such as air traffic control, fire services and security, ensuring that they continue to remain compliant with regulatory requirements in these areas. The rest of the funding was shared by Kerry, Island West Airport in Knock, and by Shannon. There were 20 admitted patients without beds at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, the second highest figure in the country after Limerick. Of the 20, 12 were on emergency department trolleys, while the remainder were in inappropriate settings on wards. Nationally, the overall figure reported by the INMO today was 161, with 116 of those on ED trolleys. Gardaí are rolling out what's been described as 10 new mobile Garda stations. They say the community engagement vans are being deployed right across the country in an effort to enhance the visibility of Gardaí in the regions and in local rural areas. With more detail, here's Shane Beattie.
The mobile Garda stations are officially called community engagement vans, and the 10 vehicles will offer a range of services to the public, as well as boosting Garda visibility in local areas. The vans are equipped with audio-visual equipment, which will allow Gardaí to communicate with those attending public gatherings, as well as displaying safety advice. Each van can transport two Garda mountain bikes. Just as Minister Helen McEntee says, people will have the ability to sit in and have a chat with the local Garda, while assistant Garda Commissioner Paul Cleary says he hopes people will spot the vans in their area and know that they can come and speak to officers about a matter they can help with.
Ireland is facing an imminent threat from the Class A drug fentanyl. The drug is 50 to 100 times more potent than morphine and heroin and is a leading cause of death in the US. Midlands Northwest MEP Colm Markey says it's only a matter of time before it reaches Ireland. He says a three-pronged approach must be taken immediately.
Number one, to put in place patrols and monitoring in relation to the supply, if you like. Secondly, I think we need to have a significant awareness campaign to let the public know about the dangers of fentanyl. And thirdly, I suppose, then a whole testing regime of the what drugs are found on the ground to see is there a presence of it in the drugs that are currently available. I think this is a very real threat, if you like. In America at the moment, there's a bit of an epidemic, if you like, of fentanyl use. It's attributed for over 100,000 deaths. The reality is that, if you like, the use of heroin has reduced due to the lack of availability. So it's big in America at the moment. The reality, I think the Taoiseach has already mentioned, it's only a matter of time before it reaches Europe.
Home Instead have launched their Not Just a Carer campaign. It's intended to dispel myths surrounding the care sector. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
In a statement, Home Instead say that for far too long, caring has been undervalued, with dedicated family carers and skilled professional carers often described as just a carer. According to data from the Family Carers Ireland, family carers alone are saving the state €20 billion annually. They contribute €19 million in unpaid hours per week, highlighting the need for recognition and support for the vital role played by those who care in our communities. The multimedia campaign will span across various media channels, including TV, print, broadcast and social media, and share the stories of inspiring caregivers. Alison Hegarty, General Manager at Home Instead Donegal, says the campaign is a testament to the extraordinary work happening daily across the country.
Donegal County Council expects to spend just over €1,022,000,000 on capital projects between 2024 and 2026. Chief Executive John McLaughlin says while the 2025 and 2026 figures are projections, the figures for next year have been agreed. With more, here's Lucy Peebles.
When it comes to capital spending, Donegal County Council's highest spending department in 2024 will be housing, corporate and cultural services, which will spend just over €91.6 million. Roads and transportation will spend just under €69 million, while almost €29.2 million will be spent by community, enterprise and planning services. This includes the urban and regional development projects in Letterkenny, Killybegs, Burtonport and Arranmore. Just over €13.5 million has been budgeted for water and environment services, while €20.7 million will be spent by the Council's economic development, information systems and emergency services. This includes €9.5 million for the Alpha project, €3.3 million for the Beta Business Centre, both in Letterkenny, and €5.6 million for the Inishowen Innovation Hub in Buncrana. Finally, almost €25.5 million has been budgeted for the Roads Management Office.
More details on those figures and a link to that full report available on our website, highlandradio.com. Continuing now with our series of end-of-year interviews with the Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council and the county's five municipal districts. We'll hear first from Councillor Tom Conaghan. He's the Cathaoirleach of the Donegal Municipal District. Councillor Conaghan says it's been a good year for the area so far. He began by offering his views on the new one-way system in Donegal Town. It has come in for some criticism, but Councillor Conaghan believes it will ultimately prove a success.
I'm very happy at the moment, the fact that the one-way system has started now at the moment. I know it's controversial to the fact that a lot of people probably find it hard to accept change, and I understand that, but I think it'll be good for the town. I think the town needs it because of the growth and all the rest at the moment and the developments that are coming in Donegal, you know, like, and I would find that it all looks good for the future.
In terms of Killybegs, a lot of talk about Killybegs and some major developments on the cards for Killybegs, both in terms of private funding and in terms of government funding. It's all looking positive.
Yeah, I think so. You know, like it's a nice spread over the different areas, and you have Killybegs, and as you say, and Ballyshannon and different other areas that are getting a part of it, you know. And we'll be very happy at the moment, you know, like even that is happening there, and it's good for that area.
A local election coming up in June, will we see you running again?
Well, I will and I won't, I suppose. I haven't done it, to be honest. I haven't made up my mind on it, really. It has been a very busy year, I suppose, maybe with the first, as you say, the term of the in the office. You know, like it's hectic at the moment, and it's a good thing, possibly, as well. I enjoyed my two terms as well in it. In the council, I would have to admit it, I found a lot of happenings in Donegal. I'm not saying it all came from Tom Cunningham, but I was pushing my way from the day one that I went in, because I always felt that there was a lot of negativity, and it was holding back things. And now at the moment we have good developers and good sites for to work on, and I think there's an element of positivity coming in, because I think you need that, and you know, like hopefully that we can keep going the way we're going at the moment.
And that was Councillor Tom Conaghan there. A longer version of that interview is available on our website, highlandradio.com. Well, Councillor Terry Crossan is Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District. He says despite a number of issues, not least that of defective blocks, progress has been made, and he believes the peninsula has a bright future. Councillor Crossan acknowledges that there are concerns about the speed of some developments, but he says a lot is progressing very well, particularly the Greenway.
I think that Inishowen is progressing extremely well. We have some tremendous projects in hand. The Greenway that is coming all the way from Terry a number of years ago. It came across the border at Culmore and progressed down through the back of Hough into Kildare. That has now been extended and has made its way down towards Three Trees, and that project is due for completion early February, and it's progressing at a great speed currently, and is a great job.
One of the comments that we hear a lot about Inishowen is that services and facilities and even things like tourism initiatives tend to get as far as perhaps Letterkenny, but they don't go further. They don't go into Inishowen, and very much at times Inishowen can be isolated. Is that your perception as well?
Obviously, there are issues and projects that have been slow to be progressed. But, you know, in my time here and my time as a councillor, there has been fairly good progress made. I would have to say I would be disappointed in the progress that has been made in the Mahallan Head area. And, you know, that has been a strong bone of contention. There is also a fairly good progress being made on the Dunree project. You know, it's moving along well, and hopefully will come to fruition in the not too distant future.
And that was Councillor Terry Crossan, the Gaelic of the Inishowen Municipal District. Again, a fuller version of that conversation available on our website, highlandradio.com. Tomorrow, Michaela is here and she'll have conversations with Councillor Michael McClafferty, the Gaelic of the Dlenthys Municipal District, and also Councillor Martin Harley, who is, of course, Gaelic of Donegal County Council.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Get 30% off all official Donegal GAA Peak range in the Big St Stephen's Day sale. Also great savings on runners and leisure wear.
Approaching 4 minutes past five, time for the sport. And starting with GAA, Diane Madlin, née Toner, has been named on the first ever Irish International Rules Masters squad that will play Australia in two tests. The match will be played on the 9th and 16th of March at Muller GAA Club Galway and Den GFC in Cavan. Former Donegal LGFA player Maria Deveney will be part of the managerial setup. Mary Jo Boyle of Derry and Maura McMenamin of Tyrone have also made the squad. To the Premier League now, and there are two games down for decision later on this evening. First up, Brighton host Tottenham from 7:30. A win for Ange Postecoglou's side would see them go back into the top four. Elsewhere, Arsenal entertain West Ham at 5:15. 3 points for the Gunners would send them back up to the top of the table. Everton manager Sean Dyche, meanwhile, has called for football's handball rules to go back to the old days. Everton conceded a penalty against Manchester City in a 3-1 Premier League defeat last night. Amadou Onana was penalised for the ball hitting his hand from a close-range shot. Dyche now says everyone is confused by what counts as legal.
Manager spoke very clearly to the powers that be early in the season. And I know deliberate doesn't count anymore. And natural, you know, when your arms are up, it's all nonsense. At the end of the day, it should do back to the old days. If it's deliberate, you can tell. Referees, that's why they're referees. That's why they have the experience, the feel of a game, the knowledge of a game, or should do.
Rugby now, and Munster lock Edwin Edogbo is to go for a surgical review next week. It follows his suffering an Achilles tendon injury in Munster's URC defeat to Leinster on St Stephen's Day. Graham Rantree's side are preparing to face Connacht at the sports ground on New Year's Day. The Westerners have also been dealt an injury blow. They're said to be without Dermot Kilgallen for a number of months after he suffered a significant hamstring injury playing in the Investec Champions Cup earlier this month. Kilgallen has scored 5 tries in 6 appearances for Connacht so far this season. In darts, Chris Dobie has beaten Ross Smith 4-2 at the PDC World Championship. Earlier on, Stephen Bunting booked his place in the last 16 with a 4-0 win over Germany's Florian Hempel at Alexandra Palace. Joe Cullen beat Ryan Searle 4-2. This evening, Fermanagh's Brendan Dolan plays former champion Gerwin Price, and Daryl Gurney from Derry faces Ricky Evans. In tennis, world number one Novak Djokovic doesn't expect his latest trip to Australia to be his last. He's arrived in Perth for the United Cup. He'll compete for Serbia as part of his build-up to the Australian Open, which takes place next month in Melbourne. Djokovic says he hasn't thought at all about bringing his career to an end.
You know, always look forward, as I said, coming back to Australia, and, you know, always felt like I played my best tennis over the years. I don't really have a plan what's going to happen next year. I'm kind of taking it season by season and see how far it takes me.
To racing now, and the Willie Mullins trained Galopin Deschamps got back to winning ways at Leopardstown this afternoon. Paul Townsend rode the 7-year-old to victory in the feature Savills Chase after going off the 6-4 favourite. The Cheltenham Gold Cup winner put in a brilliant performance, finishing 23 lengths ahead of Gordon Elliott's Jerry Combone. The Meath trainer teamed up again with Jack Kennedy to win the other Grade 1 of the day, the Jack de Bromhead Christmas Hurdle. Irish Point came home there ahead of Willie Mullins' Asterion Forlong and the Henry de Bromhead trained Ballyadam. The feature at Limerick, the Guinness Faugheen Novice Chase, was won by the Willie Mullins trained Gaelic Warrior. And that's your sports news. Now it's time for farming news and views. And for the last time in 2023, we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, as you may have heard in the news headlines, 2023 was the warmest year on record in Ireland. June was the warmest month ever recorded, while March and July were the wettest. Met Éireann has an observation network that gathers weather data across the country, and it currently uses four different types of weather station to record data: manned and automatic weather stations, climatological and rainfall stations. Currently, there's around 500 rainfall stations around the country. And among them in Donegal is one monitored by Killygordon farmer Patrick Kelly. Earlier today, I spoke to him to get an overview of what the rainfall patterns have been like this year.
That's great, yeah. I collect the rainfall figures every day. I read them each morning for Metair, and so I don't do temperature here. It's a much more onerous task to record temperature. But they have their own official stations in Finner and Malinhead to do the temperature, so that will give people a fairly good indication of the temperature figures around this part of the world. But in terms of the rainfall, I'm totalling up here. There's 1,258 millimetres of rain so far this year, which is slightly above average. Our average rainfall here is just under 1,200 millimetres. Now, when I talk about average, that's for me here in Killygordon. There's other parts of the county who get substantially more rainfall than that. So we are slightly above average, but December to date will be just about average as well. So even though it has rained a lot, we always have to keep in mind that December is one of the wettest months in this part of the world. So it's just nothing hugely exciting. Yeah, I could keep going back to the last time I talked to you, Chris, about the records that we did have, and that was the wettest July we had on record. And as I said before to you, I had the wettest day recorded here when there were Kelvin and Rafal were flooded. So that was the outstanding feature of the weather in this county for this year, was the rainfall in July. But of course, June was the warmest month ever recorded in Ireland, and I would think Donegal's figures would be similar to that. It was the record-breaking month in the year in terms of temperature.
And just to explain to people, that there's a network of volunteers like yourself across the country. You're taking these daily readings, and now the times that we live in, it's all recorded. The data all goes up online. And for Met Éireann, these figures are absolutely crucial in helping to not just analyse things, but it also helps in things, including planning for the future and everything from river diversions to building houses.
That's correct, yeah. Like, that data is fundamentally important to making informed decisions, to drive policy, obviously, but also in terms of the absolute policy of where you build, for example, and where the floodplains are, and where we have to think about how we manage water in the future and manage temperature. So it's something we're quite familiar with in Donegal in many ways, because we always get a lot of rain. It's nothing new to us to get a lot of rain here. So for my own farm, for example, I have to be very conscious about how I manage the overland flow or the flooding effects in terms of running the farm. So it's something a Donegal farmer has by instinct, because you just have to work with the weather you have. But that, in fairness to the rest of Ireland, Chris, it has been one of the poorest years I've had. Like, there's been incredible rainfalls in parts of Ireland when you look at the data. We probably have been fairly close to normal, but other parts of Ireland have had huge rainfall, especially in Cork, around Middleton when it was flooded. Like, the figures that fell in Roche's Point that day were something I don't think I've ever recorded here in Donegal. And we generally will get bad weather compared to that part of Cork. So there was some exceptional weather events throughout Ireland through the last year.
It would appear, looking at the last couple of years, that a lot of the storms that have hit Ireland, that they seem to have hit the sort of the south and the southwest harder, and have filtered out somewhat by the time they get up here. And as you touched on there, you know, counties like Cork seem to be getting a lot more rainfall. Looking back over the last few years, you know, what sort of trends can you detect? Because, I mean, we hear everything every day about global warming and climate change. But
yeah,
looking at your own figures, I mean, what has stood out over the last 20, 25 years or so?
Right. Yeah, so Chris, it is getting wetter. I don't think I need to tell anybody that. So we're certainly seeing an increase in the average rainfall. So that's one feature. We tend to get more wet days. You know, people look back in the past and there probably was more opportunity for doing jobs and getting work done because there was more dry days. So we tend to probably have more wetter days as well. But again, we've always had a wet day in Donegal, so something, but there is probably a statistical increase in terms of the number of wet days. But the big difference is the intensity of rainfall. And what we had here last July in this part of Donegal and what Inishowen had a few years ago, that's the feature that's probably coming across more than anything else, is that really intense rainfall event. We always used to talk about the 1-in-100-year event, but unfortunately, and this is one of the consequences of the climate change, that 1-in-100-year event has become much more frequent. So when people ask me about climate change, you know, the data is showing that the climate is changing, and the biggest consequence, as far as I'm concerned, and what I could see, is that intensity of rainfall event and what that does in terms of localised flooding.
And that brings us, I suppose, in some ways back to planning, because when you get that intensive rainfall, you can get drains blocked, and that's what really causes so many problems with localised flooding, is that the runoff is simply not there.
Yeah, and this obsession, I've talked to people in the villages here in East Donegal that have been affected by the flooding in recent times, and the local people point out what the problems are, and it's this obsession of trying to put water into pipes. You know, when you have this incredible intense rainfall, you have to have basically allow overland flow and direct water away to the rivers as quickly as possible. But once you end up with a culvert or a bridge or a pipe, it only has so much capacity, and then suddenly, especially if it gets blocked with debris, then you lose that capacity to take the water through, and then that causes this massive surge of water, which tends to lead to this flooding. So, yeah, we just have to think long and hard about how we manage that overland flow due to the increased intensity, but I just think the whole issue around trying to put it through pipes is one that has to be looked at very carefully. And the way I always look at that is, if you ever look at the bridges on the River Finn, I'm talking about Liscully's, my local bridge here, and Killygordon is obviously the other bridge beside me, and you look at the number of arches and the height of the bridges, I've always been amazed at how much foresight the engineers in the 1700s put into building those bridges. They're there, they've stood the test of time for the last 300 years, but they have phenomenal capacity to take flood water. A real tribute to the people of the 1700s that built those bridges when you look at them.
Indeed. Now, looking at the 12 months of the year, people's assumptions about certain months being drier or wetter than others are not always what the reality is.
Yeah, well, of course, summertime in this part of the world, we tend to call it summer, but some of the rainfall we get, for example, August is a very wet month here. On average, it will be wetter than September, and probably people think about this, and it happened again this year. The first 2 weeks of September actually were quite good because the children go back to school. The other time that tends to be quite dry is when the children have their exams in early June. So there are two features of our weather that seem to be ingrained in it. But August is a wet month in this part of the world. Our wettest months are December and January. They're the two wettest statistically. And the driest tend to be in April, May time. So that's the trend you get. But August and July this year, unfortunately, was exceptionally wet. But July is quite a wet month as well. It will be wetter than May or June.
And just remind us again, the wettest day so far this year, or the wettest month?
The wettest month was July, and the wettest day, well, for me here, was the 22nd of July when we had that 73 millimetres of rain. That only fell in 3 or 4 hours. That's the day that both the Castleton and the Fogle flooded.
Yeah. Okay, Patrick, many thanks for that. We wish you a very happy new year, and no doubt you'll be keeping the figures again for another few years.
Yeah, as long as I have the health to do it, I like keeping information, and it just gives you information to have a discussion with the likes of yourself and with, believe you me, there's lots of people around here we're talking about the weather, but it's very interesting to have that data and to be able to discuss it. But of course, this data is available to everybody. It's on the Metairn website. They have a phenomenal resource. If you go into the Metairn website, go to the climate section, and you can drill down, and anybody can access this data once it's properly checked by Metairn.
Yeah.
So it's there for everybody to access.
And worth pointing out, you know, as you've mentioned, things can be so localized. When you go online and you look at the other rainfall monitoring stations, they're scattered around Donegal as well, so you can find one probably
closer to where you live, because there is phenomenal differences within this county in terms of, you know, individual areas and the rainfall they get. It's always amazing me the variety, but that's to do with topography and being close to the sea, you know, close to mountains. This is the furthest point in the county from the sea where I live, so that has a huge impact in terms of the rain we will get.
So you are by no means the wettest.
No, absolutely not. Certainly don't claim to have that record.
And that was Killigordon farmer Patrick Kelly. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. It's the last programme of the year. So my thanks to everybody who's contributed to the programme over the past 12 months. And it just leaves me only one thing to do, and that's to wish you all a very happy new year and a prosperous 2024. Goodbye.
Well, staying with a weather theme, and just to remind you, a status yellow wind and rain warning remains in place for Donegal, Leitrim, Sligo and four other counties until 6 tomorrow morning. A status yellow thunderstorm warning is also in place for Donegal until 9 o'clock this evening. And the forecast for this evening and tonight, blustery with showers and possible thunderstorms in fresh to strong and gusty southwest to west winds, gales at times along the coast. Tonight it'll be cold with clear spells and scattered blustery showers, a potential for some hail or sleet on higher ground, some frost or ice as well in sheltered areas, lowest overnight temperatures 1 to 5 degrees Celsius. Again, fresh and gusty west to southwest winds. Tomorrow expect sunny spells and scattered blustery showers, some of sleet and snow, mainly over higher ground, in top temperatures of 4 to 8 degrees Celsius with an added wind chill factor in moderate to fresh westerly winds. Looking now at the closing headlines on this Thursday evening, Donegal Airport has been allocated €731,000 as part of an €11 million operational funding package for the state's four regional airports. It will be targeted at air traffic control, fire services and security, ensuring the airports remain compliant with regulations in these areas. There were 20 admitted patients without beds at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning. That was the second highest figure in the state after Limerick. Of the 20, 12 were on emergency department trolleys. The remainder were in inappropriate settings on wards. And Ireland is facing an imminent threat from the Class A drug fentanyl. That's the warning from the Midlands Northwest MEP Colm Markey. He says the drug is 50 to 100 times more potent than morphine and heroin. It's only a matter of time, he says, before it reaches Ireland, and work must be done by government to tackle it now. We're back with local news tomorrow morning. Michaela's here with the first bulletin at 8 o'clock. In the interim, we'll have regular national and international updates. You can catch up on all of today's news, of course, on our website, highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, have a very good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 28th of December. The death has occurred of Charlie Shields, Carnamugga, Letterkenny, formerly of Muff, Cooldaff, reposing at his late residence until 9 o'clock tonight, and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 9 o'clock, concluding with rosary at 9 o'clock both evenings. Funeral from there on Saturday morning to St. Eunan's Cathedral for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed online at churchservices.tv, followed by interment in the family plot in Cornwall Cemetery. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Branch Irish Wheelchair Association, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. The death has taken place of Sister Perpetua O'Donnell, Sisters of Mercy, Ballyshannon, formerly of New Row, Donegal Town. Remains reposing at St. Catherine's Mercy Convent, Ballyshannon, tomorrow from 2 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Removal from there to St. Patrick's Church, Ballyshannon, on Saturday morning for Mass of the Resurrection at 11, followed by interment in Abbey Assaroe Cemetery. Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Veronica McBride, née Boyce, Ards Creasla, formerly of Kilmacrennan. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral Mass in St. Michael's Church, Creasla, on Saturday morning at 11. It can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or James Harkin, funeral director. The death has taken place of Julie Casey, Cooper's Road, Drumburn, Milford, reposing at her home from 6 o'clock this evening until after the rosary at 9, and again tomorrow from 12 noon until after the rosary at 9. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St. Peter's Church, Milford, followed by interment in Milford Cemetery. The Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family Flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice, care of McIlwee Funeral Directors or any family member. The death has taken place of Daniel McCormick, Glendone, Church Hill. Daniel's remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning, going to St. Columbkill's Church, Glendone, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Temple Douglas Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to Pieta House, care of any family member or Charlie McLafferty, funeral director. The death has taken place of Patrick Patsy Trimble, Mass, Glenties. Patsy's remains are reposing at his home. Removal tomorrow morning to St. Connell's Church, Glenties, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Family time, please, before the funeral, which can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Cancer Care West bus, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Mick Kavanagh, Rawdon's Bar, Mallon Road, Moville. Mick's remains are reposing at his mum and dad Sally and Charlie's home at Shrove Greencastle. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Mick's funeral mass will take place on Saturday morning at 11 in St Mary's Church, Ballybrack, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Stroke Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital or Greencastle Coast Guard, care of any family member. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.